Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Last Full Measure with your host, Ted Hayes and Eric Johnson.
Shalom. Welcome to our sixth episode of The Last Full Measure. I'm Eric Johnson. I'm glad you're here with both Ted Hayes and myself. Ted, how are you?
I'm doing great, Eric Johnson. I want to give a shout out to recently declared by the United States of America, the city of Jerusalem, the eternal capital of Israel and Jewish people. So, shalom, shalom in Jerusalem. Shalom, Jerusalem.
Yes, in full agreement and heartily on that one. So, speaking of Jerusalem, the new embassy for the United States is opening in 6 days. That's a big deal. Really
very
big deal.
Very big deal. I don't think, as I look through the ancient Hebrew, Israel, Jewish history, there's been some significant, you know, world leaders at that time. Most of them have been wicked guys. One was converted, Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord converted him of Babylon. And there was Sennacherib, who threatened Jerusalem, and he got wiped out. And there was Artaxerxes, who during the time of Esther and Malachi in Persia spared the Jews and gave the Jewish people power to fight back against Haman, the spirit of Hitler, so to speak. And there was Cyrus as well, who also helped and blessed Israel and Jerusalem. And now we have this new Goy Cyrus, Gentile guy, who would have thunk, the playboy, very wealthy guy.
Yeah.
You know, Donald J. Trump did something like that. You know, Scripture talks about where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And take those things which are not to bring to nothing those things which are, and chosen the foolish things to confound those things which are supposedly wise, intellectual. So our father really confounded the world with Donald Trump.
He took society and put it up on its ear, didn't he? It's like,
oh my goodness! You know, it reminds me of Paul when Paul said, "Man, you guys think you're sinners? You don't know a sinner until you met me." And that's how the Lord has used me. So surely he can use a Donald Trump. He could use an Eric Johnson too, right?
Yeah,
as messed up as you are.
Yes, we are. We are way messed up. So, as I like to tell people that, yeah, when I went to the hospital, I went in with a six pack. When I came out with a medicine ball.
That's pretty funny, Eric.
I'm sorry. Like, whoa, what happened to you? Yeah, no.
Let's play basketball with Eric. Toss him around a little bit. Yeah.
There's nothing like living your entire life 8 months pregnant with twins, perpetually. I am perpetually 8 months pregnant with twins. You know,
oh, my God. We got to get you to Hollywood and get you in the Comedy Store or something, a laugh act or something, dude. That's funny.
I heard the funniest thing. I was perusing YouTube and just kind of talking about it. There was a, I can't think of his name, but he was funny. I think he had cerebral palsy or something, but he couldn't speak, and so he had his touchpad that could speak for him, and he was hilarious talking about disabled people and how you have, you know, they have special parking, special buses, you know, special seating, special this, special that. And he said, I start getting nervous when I hear, again, this is England. He says, I start getting nervous when I start hearing the PM talking about Afghanistan and sending special forces.
That's pretty good. That's enough to be concerned about too, boy, because he may do that.
I was actually laughing out loud. My wife was like, "What are you laughing?" It said, "It's funny, honey. It's really funny." So
that's really.
But yeah, you know, we have fun, but we are living in very exciting times. I mean, we've got the new embassy in 6 days, and the day after that, Israel celebrates 70-year anniversary.
Yeah.
That is. 70 is significant in Scripture.
Yeah.
70, there's a lot on that. So, and from what I was reading today, they're planning to call a square in Jerusalem. They're going to rename it to the Trump Square.
That doesn't surprise me. I think that's a really fantastic thing. What an honor for Mr. Trump. What an honor for America.
And what did he do? He announced today that we're out of the Iran deal.
Yeah, how about that?
You know, people are jumping up and down over there. And
yeah, Saudis are, the Kuwaitis, the Sunni Muslims are jumping up and down because, folks, I don't know if you noticed or not, but it's not just one Islam. There are several, but the two biggest are the Sunni and the Shiites, spelled S-H-I-I-T-E-S, I think it is. It's not what you want to pronounce it. It's the Shiites. Anyway, the Shiites, they broke away from the Sunnis. I think it was Muhammad's nephew who felt that the Sunnis were no longer following the strict order of Muhammad. And so they broke away. And those two factions have been warring at each other for 1,800 years. And the looks like the Iranians, the Persians, the Shiites feel like they have a right to take over Mecca and the whole Middle East, and particularly through Hezbollah up in Lebanon, north of Israel, north of Jerusalem. They want to use Hezbollah to bring down the state of Israel, which I think is a very suicidal move on their part.
Mm. Yes. Yes. You did every battle that has gone up against Israel since 1948 hasn't gone so well with those who've gone up against them.
Yeah, you can ask Adolf Hitler, Haman, right down the list, you know. The Lord, Hashem, Adonai, Elohim, strictly said that Israel, the Hebrew Israeli people, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are the apple of his eye. You know how you talk about don't be tugging on Superman's cape and all that kind of stuff, but don't be spitting in God's eye either. Keep your hands off his apple.
What's the saying? Stupid is as stupid does.
Yeah, buddy. And I think, you know, the one scripture, speaking of Jerusalem, one of the scriptures he says here in Zechariah 12, he says, "Behold, I'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about." It's all the Arabs and the Muslims that surround them, and the Goy nations, "when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the peoples of earth be gathered together against it." Now that says a mouthful. Apparently people who are going to touch Jerusalem need to be very careful how they touch Jerusalem, because if they touch Jerusalem in a burdensome way, looks like the Lord has something for them if they do so.
Wow.
And that's why I consistently bless the children of Israel, Jewish people, whether Ashkenazi, Sephardic, or anyone who says that they are a Jew, a Hebrew, an Israelite, whether they are or not, you know, you live by your profession. If you want to say you represent the holy God of all creation, then you better carry yourself as such. If not, you will reap the repercussions from that. So when I see my Hebrew and Jewish people, I say to them, you know, shalom, shalom, blessing child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I wear a Star of David as a, I guess you can call it Jewish trap, where Jewish people see it, they comment, and then I recognize who they are, and then I lay the blessing on them. Bless you, child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I tell you something, folks, as I do that, as I've been doing over the years, the Lord has indeed blessed and is blessing and continue to bless.
Wow, that's exciting to see. And I bet it surprises, I bet it catches them on guard.
Yeah, and they love it. I mean, they, you know, a lot of my Jewish people, they, They don't know who they are. Most of them don't know, and they'll admit it. They don't know what their purpose is because they don't study Torah, and the rabbis do not take the time to really, most of them, to teach them who they are and their significance in the world. And basically, they just want to be like the Jews, or not to be Jews, but be like the Gentiles around them. And remember, that's what they were saying back in ancient times. We want to be like the Gentiles. We want to have a king. And when you listen to many of the Jewish advocates, they say, all we want to do is live in peace with our neighbors. We're like everybody else. No, you're not like everybody. And I tell them, no, you're not like everybody else. And that's the problem. You are the light of the world. You have been given God's written word. You are a peculiar people set aside unto him that the Goya may come and learn the word of God and know of me. And you haven't done that. And that's why they always get in trouble. And that's what the Lord talks about, the controversy of Zion. Keeping it to themselves. And subsequently, they don't know who they are. But they will. Well, they will.
They will. That's right. I'm confident they will. They will.
Yeah. Yeah, God said that, too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, he's going to live up to his word.
Let's switch gears here for a little bit. You and I were talking earlier about what's happening with the homeless situation.
Before you go there real quick, Eric, may I just read something to everybody? Psalm 22. Check it out sometime. Psalm 22. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within the gates of within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compacted together. Whether the tribes go up, Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment in the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee, Jerusalem. Peace, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good, Jerusalem. Blessings,
brother. Wow.
Wow, huh?
Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Right.
Isn't
so,
it
says right there. You know, say peace unto Israel. Say peace unto Jerusalem, and shall be peace in your own home.
There it is.
Wow. Wow. All right, so let's move on to the update. What's happening in Los Angeles and the homeless situation?
Sure.
So what's going on? Tell us.
Yeah, you
know,
when I met the Lord and he began to teach me scriptures and I began to really search, because I've always had a heart to do justice in the world, you know, as a civil rights activist and all of that. And, you know, prior to my going becoming homeless on purpose back in 1985 to study and understand and find an answer to it, one of the things that drove me in that direction, or led me in that direction, or influenced me from the Word of God, was when the Lord said, go ye into all the world and proclaim the gospel, preach the gospel. He also said, go ye into the highways and the byways and the alleys and the lanes of the streets, the good, and gather into my house the lame, the halt, the poor. He says the good and the bad. Now he's talking about homeless people right there. And then the last public statement that he makes when he before he leaves us, before he was crucified, he said that, and as much as you've done it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And I also discovered that when he was on the earth, Jesus became homeless. Not only homeless from heaven, but also he was homeless. He left his family, his mother, and he went out and lived with the poor people. So he traveled around the countryside. And he said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Now, he told us to compel them to come in. And compel means to grab them by the arm and just bring them into his house. And so what I've been doing out here in Los Angeles, in his name and in his honor, is moving on the city officials and other government officials to implement the plans that he has shown me to eradicate homelessness in a humane and sensible manner. And it is based entirely, my brothers and sisters, it is based entirely on the Hebrew scriptures, based primarily on the exodus of the Israelites from the land of Egypt out of bondage across the wilderness of transitioning from the old ways of the world and transitioning into the new ways of the world into the promised land. And looks like we're starting to get some significant traction out here to the point to where we have started a movement that will lead the mayors of L.A., of county, the county board of supervisors, the state legislature, eventually the governor, to the president of the United States to present him with our plan that he may issue an executive order to eradicate homelessness simultaneously throughout the United States. That's what's going on out here in the homeless capital of America, folks.
That's and you told me things are moving at lightning speed out there.
Yeah, I can hardly keep up. Yesterday we met we're building something out here called the Beverly Hills Compton Cross City Collaboration. It's these two cities, we're getting them to work together. And yesterday we met with the city manager of Compton, and I tell you, someone called me a few minutes ago, you guys, before I got on the line here, wondering what's going on. I told him, you know, things are going so fast. Things happened yesterday in Compton. I just, it was beyond my expectations.
Wow, that's encouraging to hear.
Yeah, I can't give any details, but hopefully next week or two you'll be able to.
But yeah, we get that.
Sure.
Yeah, but folks,
you know, thanks for your prayers, man. Thanks for praying for Jesus. Basically, in a certain sense, you're praying for Jesus. Jesus is homeless. He says, when you did it to the least of one of these, you did it to my brethren. And I've been telling folks in L.A., those guys out there in the sidewalks, essentially, that's Jesus. And Heavenly Father has called upon us to get his son off the streets. And as much as you've done it to the least of one of these, you've done it to me.
Wow,
so who knows, man?
That's encouragement right there for people to actually get involved. Wow.
Yeah, so thank you for your support, you guys. Thank you very much. And go to domevillage.us sometime. Go to domevillage.us, and there you'll see different stuff that we're working on.
Wow, that's great. That's exciting. So.
Yes, sir.
All right, so let's moving on. The last full measure.
Yes.
What we call the show, and the reason for it is because it has to do with the 740,000 that bled and died to free the chattel slaves. Want to discuss on today's show the 14th Amendment, the history, and what it means to America today and the world. You've been quite an expert on this, and you're actually educating a lot of public officials on this. Can you go into the 14th Amendment for our listeners, what it is, how it came about, and what it represents?
Sure. Sure, folks. The 14th Amendment is essentially the birthright citizenship of the freed chattel slaves and their descended children as long as the Union Republic of the United States shall exist. In fact, when you study those constitutional mandates, you begin to realize that the existence of the United States depends on the fulfillment of the 14th Amendment. And also depending on that fulfillment is those 740,000 northern and southern white boys and men and the 30,000 black men and boys who died in the Civil War over this matter. And Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address that it's really up to us to finish what they gave the full last devotion to, and in doing so, that their deaths and their suffering will not be in vain. In other words, folks, the outcome of whether those boys died in vain or not 150 years ago is still yet to be determined. And it's determined on how well we who are alive today fulfill the 14th Amendment. Now, the 14th Amendment obviously was granted to a people, an American people, who had recently been granted the 13th Amendment, which was delivered on June 5th, 1865, which abolished slavery in the United States except in prison. And so the chattel slaves was free. And then the Republican architects of the 13th Amendment, they recognized that though these people are free, who are they? They don't have citizenship. They have no way of defending themselves. And some people say that They were afraid, too, that some smart-aleck black dude or woman may figure out what they had in hand, decide, you know what, we don't want to be citizens of the United States. We want to do what the Indians have done, certain Indians have done, and we want to create our own nation within the nation. And so they recognized these confusing dangers, and they decided that we had better make these people citizens with the same equal opportunities as white citizens based on the Declaration of Independence. And so they decided to create something, folks, called the first Civil Rights Act in the history of the United States. It's called the Civil Rights Act of 1866. And it has 10 sections, in which the first section says it identifies who gets a citizenship as is enjoyed by white citizens, quote unquote. That's what the law says. And then it says, and then it has 9 other sections that describes how Section 1 is to be fulfilled, from the federal courts, district and circuit, to attorney generals, to marshals, right down to the United States military and posse comitatus are set there to make sure that Section 1, which gives the freed slave citizenship, that protection. However, 3 of the sections speak directly to the President of the United States. The President has the overwhelming burden of essentially being the personal guardians of the free chattel slaves, thereby fulfilling his oath of office to preserve and protect the Constitution. However, the architects recognize, while this Congress, I think it was the 39th Congress, while we are friendly towards the chattel slaves, a future Congress may come along and will repeal their citizenship because it is only a congressional act. So they recognize, the Republican architects recognize, and we need to permanentize these people's citizenship for the sake of the Union, so let's put it into the Constitution. How they do that? They created what's called the 14th Amendment. And when you look at the 14th Amendment, it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sections in it. The most important section is Section 1, but it seems rather vague. Should I read it to him, Eric?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, Section 1 says this, and this has been really misconstrued by a lot of people. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and the states wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. So people say, you know what? If a woman comes to the United States illegally, doesn't belong here, or overstays her visa, however they got in here, or they come, for example, like a lot of Asian people, women, they come here to the United States, right here on Olympic Boulevard, to several hotels, apparently, where they come specifically to have a baby. And because of this one verse, all persons born in the United States are U.S. citizens. They chop it up, and that child, the federal government allows that child to become a United States citizen. That is not what that is about. You got people coming here across the border, women. They'll come here pregnant or get pregnant, have a baby within the geophysical borders of the United States, and they claim that that baby is a U.S. citizen. And our federal government, particularly the White House, has stood by and allowed this custom, is what it is. It's not a law. It's a custom to occur to the point to where eventually, this is the kind of threat it's going to make on the United States. Those, what they call anchor children, they turn 18 years old, 64 to 68,000 a year. Hispanic children primarily turn 18 years old. That is the big voting block that the Democrats and the Republicans are fighting over. Unfortunately, folks, when that illicit population outnumbers the legitimate population of the free chattel slaves, in other words, when their numbers outvote the black vote, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Technically, and in the eyes of heaven, that will be the end of the United States as you thought you knew it. And then from that point on, you'll see incredible destructions, economic, political, social, natural disasters, social, civic upheaval. It'll drop like a rock in this country. And because you know why? Because those 740,000 innocent young white boys and men who had nothing to do with slavery, they paid the price for that, these innocent men. Now, if God laid it on those boys to pay the price of the failure of the founding fathers, now rectifying this in the Declaration of Independence, do you think he's going to let them boys be dead in vain? You think that we're going to be allowed to walk around here and enjoy the freedom that they gave us? No, it's not going to happen, folks. We're in serious trouble. We had better stop it. So that's what the 14th Amendment basically is. Now, what happened was the 14th Amendment got the Civil Rights Act of 1866, because it wasn't permanent, they codified it. They embedded it into the Constitution via the 14th Amendment. So therefore, the 14th Amendment is like a body, like the anatomy. The 14th Amendment is the outward appearance, the skin, the hair, that which you see. The Civil Rights Act of 1866 is the skeleton, the sinew, the muscles, the internal organs. If you separate the skin from the body, it will die. And so what people are trying to say is that we must share the 14th Amendment with immigrants and with these people come here from China, wherever they come from. We must share the 14th Amendment with gays and lesbians. We must share the 14th Amendment with whales. That's a mockery. No, we cannot share any of that. Anybody that wants to be a citizen in the United States who comes here willingly, you have Article 1, Section 8, you go through the naturalization law set up by the Congress. The rest of us who did not come here willingly, they gave us this 14th Amendment, which is basically a backdoor citizenship. It was never intended for us. You understand?
And it's, you know, you really get going, and it's fine. It's like, boy, we could go another, you know, half hour, 30 minutes on this, but we're getting down to our last minute here. So I wanted to get ready to close this out. In just 45 seconds or less, Ted, what can you leave us with?
Oh, boy, that's 45 seconds. Study. What I would encourage you to do, go to the14thamendment.us, if you can remember this, the14th.us, the14th.us, and go to the740,000.com. Go to there. Study these things, folks. Don't let Eric and I just tickle your ears with far-out things. You need to know these things on your own. One of the problems that our country has, folks, is that all of us, black, white, or otherwise, we do not appreciate our citizenship. Appreciate your citizenship. Love your citizenship, because other people are trying to take it away from you. Don't let those boys be dead in vain. That's what I have to say.
Wow. Thank you, Ted. It's a good spot to finish off at. Folks, that's pretty much all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us, and shalom in Jerusalem.
Shalom in Jerusalem.
Well, that concludes tonight's broadcast of The Last Full Measure. Make sure you tune back in next Tuesday night to hear the latest from Eric and Ted as they discuss the issues that face a divided America.
Out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are